It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We got Luke Morrow sitting in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig and Reginald Adetula still here hanging out with you on a Football Friday supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors. In fact, that Football Friday will continue even once we hand it off to our guys at the Drive. Clint and Ron are out, or will rather be out, at Randa Sports Bar on 920 North Shepherd in Houston. That's north of I-10 in the Heights, I believe, right over there.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
In the city.
There you go. In the city. So, yeah, go and see the fellas. Hang out with them. I believe there will be some giveaways, as it seems like there always is. But what it will definitely be is a fun and jubilation and, of course, great sports talk when it comes to the Drive with Clint and Ron out there. But right now, let's turn our attention back to Texans Vikings that's coming up on Sunday. It's a noon game at US Bank Stadium in Minnesota. What are the matchups that you are interested in? What are the matchups that you're watching? Again, 713-572-4610 is the number. And I'm interested, Luke. I want to give you the opportunity to get in here. Like, what matchup do you feel strongest about? Because I know for me, one of the things I've talked about all week is I am most interested in this Vikings defense and the challenges that they pose. So those are the things that I'm really looking forward to first and foremost. Is that for you the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to just go through my mind. I mean, that's what I think is so fascinating about this game. I have a long list of matchups, but I think number one on my list is, to narrow that down a little more specifically, yeah, is Brian Flores against C.J. Stroud and trying to confuse the young quarterback, who we know how great C.J. Stroud is and how he seems so far advanced for a guy who's still just starting out his second year. But this is a big test on the road, noisy environment. That hurts communication as well as you're trying to figure out this defense. And Flores is going to try to confuse you and throw a lot of things at you. So for me, that's the biggest matchup, not only in terms of like entertainment value or just how important it is for Stroud, but obviously just for the sake of winning the game. So I think number one is simply just Flores against Stroud, that chess match of, can this good defensive coordinator get this very good quarterback kind of off his spot and uncomfortable on Sunday?
Yeah, and I think that the way that you put it is a good way of doing that. I know that you might default to, you know, Flores versus Slowick in some ways, but Fig, this is where I'd like to go to Bobby Slowick, and this is cut 11 from him, when he was talking about what, you know, his thoughts on the Vikings defense. He made a very particular point that I think is interesting that supports your idea that it's going to be C.J. Stroud himself having to combat some of the complexities of this defense.
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny you say that. Our big thing this week is the challenge about this defense is it's almost like he does everything he can to try to eliminate coaches from the equation. You know, like he creates a lot of chaos. But then behind it all, they're fundamentally sound. They run, they hit, they do all the things the defense needs to do. And for us, like we strain this week, the biggest thing for us is our guys got to go out and they got to own what they're doing. And they like, we have to play well against this defense, you know, and our quarterback is leading the charge on that. And he knows that if we block well, if we throw well, if we're on time, if we're good in our protections, that's what gives us a shot. Otherwise, like the way this defense is structured, there's not things anyone can really cook up as a play caller or as a coach that's going to answer the problems that get presented this week.
Yeah, man, I think that he's I mean, obviously spot on with that, right? Like he's the coordinator of this team. But yeah, I think that that's going to be what's very interesting about it is that C.J. Stroud and Juice Scruggs, who seems like Wolves play, he's practiced earlier today as he did yesterday, so he's set for Sunday, I imagine. But like making sure that those protections are straight because of those simulated blitzes and making sure that everybody knows what the assignment is, that there's a level of communication so that they don't have some of those kind of lapses in protection and now you have somebody barreling towards C.J. Stroud. And I think also when you have the protection all right, you can get the ball out quickly. I think yesterday I said something that I believe to be errant and as I thought about it, because I was thinking about the secondary players for the Vikings and how, you know, they're a little bit older, maybe not the quickest of feet. And I was like, hey, man, you have an opportunity to maybe get them with double moves and those types of things. No, the way that you beat that is get the ball to them quickly and allow the speedsters and the guys that you have to work in space, right? Get the ball to Tank Dell on easy passes. Get the ball to Nico Collins on easy passes, especially because, you know, the Vikings play a lot of zone, especially with, like, two high defenses, get the ball in those spaces, allow these guys to, you know, attack them, and then get plays with their big plays with their legs against the defense that, yes, they tackle well, but can they keep up with the speedsters that you have?
I agree with you, right. I know. They got the mind to be able to try to see those, anticipate some of those moves coming, but that's why you lean more to get the ball in their hands and see if they could keep up. Look, the Vikings have not allowed a play of 30 yards or more on defense. It's only been two games. All the numbers we throw out come from a small sample size, obviously, so far this season, but they have kept teams from being explosive. They have, through those two high safety looks that you mentioned, they've kept teams in front of them, have not given up the big plays. And when you look back, it's been documented, the Texans have never beaten the Vikings. That doesn't come into play Sunday, but if you look back at the last couple matchups, Mike Zimmer, when he was the head coach of the Vikings, ran a similar style of defense to Flores in the sense that might not be the most talented, might not be the most physical, but he's going to try to beat you mentally. He's going to try to confuse you. His whole thing is that double A gap blitz, so you don't know where the pressure is coming from, similar to what Flores tries to do.
Yeah.
And if you go back and you look, you know, Brock Osweiler, not a great quarterback. Our lawyers are coming for him eventually.
Yeah, I need to add him onto the class action lawsuit. Thank you for that reminder.
Sacked four times, fumbled twice against that Zimmer defense in, I think it was 2016. And then Deshaun Watson, I think it was 2020. Sacked three times, fumbled twice against that Zimmer defense. And that was the final game of the Bill O'Brien era. So now you have C.J. Stroud going up against it. And Stroud is a good quarterback. He's a smart quarterback. He listens to Richard Sherman podcasts to pick up on things from the other teams.
Right.
But he's not Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, where you have like 20 years of experience. He's still doing quick math. What is this, his 20th regular season game? So that's where the concern comes in, is if Flores is able to confuse a talented quarterback, but still a young quarterback at that.
Yeah, it'd definitely be you know, incumbent upon him to try and figure it out quickly. But then I think also Bobby Slowick, and I know that he's probably being a little bit humble for himself in that way. I think that it's going to be incumbent on him to try and make it easier on CJ, maybe getting the ball out quicker, especially because this defense from the Vikings pressures quarterbacks incredibly, immensely. And so, if you're holding that football past two and a half seconds, now you end up in this place where he's having to get into the scramble drill, which isn't the worst thing possible. However, it is bad if now you're allowing sacks to happen or throwing up an errant football, which is a possibility, even though I don't think we expect that from CJ Stroud as he's continued to grow into one of the better quarterbacks in this league. All right, another matchup that I'm interested in, if I go to the Texans defense, is let's talk about the Texans' ability to pressure. I think Will Anderson has another one of those matchups on the right side of the defense, the left side of the offensive line, that could allow him to really succeed, because it seems like Christian Darrisaw, the left tackle for the Vikings, has had a little bit of he's struggled a little bit. He's allowed eight pressures already this season, and four of which came quickly, right? And Will Anderson, quick pressure is the name of the game for him as well. So I do think that you can get at Sam Darnold on his left side, his blind side, and you might be able to either sack him, which would be great, but then also just heat him up. And let's see just how real this resurgence has been early on in the season. Let's see how you're doing with the pressure of this, in addition to just, you know, being able to be out there and handle your business.
Yeah, it's for both. I mean, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, it's going to be a fascinating matchup, because you have, as you mentioned, Darrisaw, and then Brian O'Neal on the other side, two talented tackles. So those are really good matchups with the lines and the trenches. And to skip ahead for a moment, I mean, that's one of my matchups, is Sam Darnold against reality.
Like,
does he keep this going? And so the way to try to slow that down or stop Darnold is to get pressure on him. And if those guys can do it, again, especially without having to blitz, obviously is always the key when you can pressure the quarterback without having to blitz. But if I'm the Texans, look, I know they blitzed more than maybe usual last week against a young quarterback in Caleb Williams. They faced Anthony Richardson, young quarterback, maybe was a little overwhelmed. Caleb Williams, young quarterback, maybe a little overwhelmed. Sam Darnold's not a young quarterback in age or years in the league, but I still look at him as that young quarterback. He's not an established, again, to go back to Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow. So I don't know how you feel, but I mean, I would blitz a lot on him too, or try, if you could get pressure without blitzing, obviously that's ideal. But my point being, get after him, get him off his spot, make him uncomfortable. And that's when Darnold might turn back into a pumpkin on Sundays, if you could be around his feet in the pocket.
Yeah, I think that really could be a possibility that helps this defense out. And I think the nice thing about it, which we've documented pretty well on the station, is the idea that, hey, you having cornerbacks, particularly Derek Stingley, that you feel confident if you were in man, if they're kind of out there handling their business without a ton of support, right? you can then utilize more assets forward on blitzing and those types of things, and that's what you've seen early. Yeah, I think that that could be something that they continue to mix in there, right? Because you have Kamari Lassiter, who has played well, especially with the cushion that he plays with. And then, of course, Derek Stingley, who that's another matchup. Is he going to be in that same boat like he was with DJ Moore, where he is following Justin Jefferson, right? Like, this is a wide receiving core that's better than any of the other ones that you've played thus far, so maybe they don't go exactly to that place and they play more, not to say that they don't play cohesive when they blitz and those things, but more cohesive as a defense against the likes of Justin Jefferson, Addison, all the guys that they're bringing to the table. But I do think that poses a chance to maybe see another strength-on-strength matchup of seeing Derek Stingley and really earn his respect that he's starting to get against one of, if not the best, wide receivers in the game. And if he can handle up one-on-one, that then, again, allows you to get to try at least to get to Sam Darnold, apply pressure. Because one of the things for him and the reasons why he's been successful early, get this, man. According to Next Gen Stats, he has the fourth lowest tight window percentage, which means he's had more wide open throws when it comes to the target that he's throwing to than I think you could probably expect from many other situations. So I think that, hey, man, if you make that a little tougher on him, and then if you're a man where that ends up being a closer window, is he able to be as accurate? Is he able to be as good throwing the football? I'm interested to see what that looks like.
That's the whole key to the Darnold success in this Vikings offense is that, and we see this with a lot of quarterbacks now. I mean, Brock Purdy, people always talk about in San Francisco, is just making them comfortable, making it so simple on the quarterback that it's almost like a one read. You script up such good plays, receivers are open. You know, they always said the difference between college and the NFL, college you threw to open receivers, in the NFL you have to throw guys open. But with these play callers now, Tua in Miami, Brock Purdy, obviously Sam Darnold now, they have so many open receivers so often that the plays are just easier for them. Sam Darnold this year, 8 for 8 when blitzed. He's completed all 8 pass attempts, but he's been blitzed the fourth fewest times in the league. So again, make him uncomfortable. Get pressure on him. But I'll segue to what you were just saying too about Stingley, because that's another one of those matchups, obviously, that I'm looking forward to. 100%. Stingley against Justin Jefferson. And you touched on it, but I would just ask you, I mean, do you anticipate? Do you think he would follow Justin Jefferson or play sides on Sunday?
I think that in order to get more of that blitzing capability, I think that he might follow him a little bit. I think that this is the tough thing, is you can't follow a little bit, right? I imagine if you do that, you're going to commit to that. And I don't know, I'm a little bit more afraid of that than what you saw with the Bears, right? The Bears were in a very particular, unique situation. They didn't have Keenan Allen, so they didn't have the full complement. You felt a little bit more comfortable saying, whatever's happening on the backside, with all due respect to Roma Dunze, we can handle that with the remainder of what we have in the defensive secondary, right? We feel good about Kamari Lassiter. We feel good about the likes of Jimmy Ward, Kalen Bullock, Eric Murray even, or that's, you know, been playing in that way. Like, we feel good about them handling those things. Does that still hold when you talk about the likes of Jordan Addison? And maybe if you're like, hey, we'll do that, and if Jordan Addison has the opportunity to try and make some big plays, that's fine, because we know that we're going to have Danielle Hunter, we're going to have Will Anderson barreling down on Sam Darnold. So I went a long way around just to go, I think that I would like to see them continue that. I'd like to see them continue to utilize Derek Stingley on Justin Jefferson, one up, man up, and then allow you to continue to use more of your assets to go after Sam Darnold and make him uncomfortable. Because again, I don't trust the resurgence as far as I can throw it right now. I think that if you heat him up, he will turn back into a pumpkin.
By the way, Jordan Addison has not practiced the last 2 days. The Vikings have not put out their practice report yet today. Okay. But he might not be available. You're kind of catching the Vikings at a good time too, because no TJ Hockenson to worry about. Maybe no Jordan Addison. Justin Jefferson's a little banged up. And then they're coming off that emotional win of the 49ers of, okay, let's see how real this team is. Can you follow that up and put forth another good effort without an emotional letdown Sunday at home? So you're kind of catching the Vikings at a good time. But yeah, Stingley and Justin Jefferson, if they do lock up, that would be certainly something to watch. And admittedly, I think it's that old cliche that they always used to use in basketball. Like, you can't stop him, you only hope to contain him.
Yeah.
I think even the best cornerbacks, I don't think you can stop. I don't think anyone in the league can stop Justin Jefferson. You just hope to try to slow him down and not have that monstrous game.
And there's been a little conversation about Derek Stingley thus far in his first 2 games. How have you felt about him? Because I know I have a little bit of that perspective when it comes to cornerbacks, especially when you're out there. Like, it's impossible to be perfect, especially in this league that we've created where rules tend so much towards the offense. And so maybe I'm trying to gauge for myself, am I being too lenient on him? How have you felt about his performance early? Because I know there's been some folks that have been not completely plus, the non-plus in some way.
Yeah. Well, in general, big fan. I really like him. I think he's going to be really good for a long time. I did not like his performance Sunday night against DJ Moore. And I thought if there was a more competent quarterback, I think he could have gotten burned sometimes. Sure. But Caleb Williams, I thought, especially watching it back, missed some opportunities. So I don't think that was his best night. Now, you know, every week is its own thing. It's its own bubble. Each week is separate. So he might go out there and ball out on Sunday. I think he's really good. I'm a big fan. I just didn't think Sunday was his best performance. Maybe this Sunday will be his best performance of the year, and they might need that against Justin Jefferson.
I think that that's fair. I mean, a 75% Justin Jefferson is still Justin Jefferson in my mind. So, yeah, that's Luke Morrow, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atatula, hanging out with you in the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Football Friday, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Coming up next, let's get into the Lunchtime Confessions.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Weird to start this off. I've gotten used to that's mini confession number one. I've gotten very used to John starting this thing off. But let's go ahead and do this as we get our lunchtime confessions going. All right. I am mildly annoyed, maybe unreasonably annoyed, with my many of my iPhone using friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I feel attacked.
Well, yeah, you probably should. I'm probably mildly annoyed with you as well, because I have felt attacked. This is me retaliating. I have felt attacked for so long for having an Android that I utilize. Because, you know, you end up in the group chats and like, oh, who messed up the group chat, right? Now we can't send videos and stuff because of this. Well, with the new iPhone update with iOS 18, they have added RCS texting, right? Which is a technology that they could have been added, if we're going to be honest, to help smooth over, right? Like the communication between those. And yet many of my friends have not taken the opportunity after years of being like, oh, why don't you just get an iPhone? You messing up the text. Now this solution, now y'all don't want to add this. Y'all don't want to turn it on. All you got to do is go in there and turn it on so we can actually get this group chat popping. But no, nobody wants to do that. I'm like, okay, so you weren't really worried about the chat, were you? Now you were just being a jerk. Huh?
That's kind of weird they ain't turning that on. Because yeah, like, I got mine on.
Yeah, turn it on. That's
and
all.
I did the beta update a couple months before. And I think it's great, man. To me, I like the easy access. I don't want the difficulty of trying to send an Android a text message or a picture or something like that. I like to see the green bubble say deliver in red and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was actually my first thought. I texted you yesterday. I was like,
I heard it. Well, Android, see, that means you don't got it turned on.
No,
then, do you?
I don't.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had to turn it on.
There
I'll
you go.
I'll do it.
Yeah, so go ahead and make it. Honestly, it's in part a PSA. Go ahead and get that turned on in there so that you can ease some of your feet. Yeah, somebody said, what's the new feature for messaging? It's RCS texting. So go in there, RCS messaging. You can Google that if you need to figure out exactly how to get it turned on. Get it turned on and make your life easier so that the Android users in your life aren't as much of an annoyance to you, and you aren't as much of an annoyance to them.
I want
to
ask you, I never asked you this, but what's your reason for being an Android guy?
I feel like
I mean we ain't got to go to the whole debate with the iPhone versus Android,
and I'm not as hard line on that type of stuff. I'm like, look, man, if you want to do that, I think that Apple does a good job of getting people into the entire ecosystem, right? So once you get an iPhone, it probably is beneficial for you to get an AirBook and or a MacBook or something, right? Mm-hmm. And then have, you know, all of the things that get you an iPad and all those things. I started out with Android and I was like, I don't feel like doing the whole suite of things, so I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm good on that. And so, yeah, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I don't need to do that. And yes, right on cue, 713, get an iPhone. I do not want to. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to be the Android guy that's like, yeah, but look at all the different things that you have added that we've been had for a long time. Right? I'm not going to do that, right? But I'm cool where I'm at. We can all live in harmony with this. Just turn the dang thing on.
Yeah, see, that's how I feel. Like, I got an iPhone, obviously, and I'm perfectly fine where I'm at. I like the FaceTime. So that's one of the reasons why I got it, so I can FaceTime. And I got my mom an iPhone, so I can FaceTime her. And so I think it's just convenient right now. So I'm not the person that's like, oh, iPhone is so much better. And, oh, Android.
In some ways, there are some things that it is better in, but there's some things that it's not.
Yeah, Android's got better cameras. I think they got better cameras. They always ahead of time with the features. and that iPhone kind of piggyback and make the features a little better. So, like, I ain't going to get in the back and forth and all that stuff. But Lopez is definitely a guy that said, oh, Android is better. I would never. I'm just like, all right, man.
Taking shots while he's not here.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what you're supposed to do, I think. That's what I heard. Watch this.
I got so many to choose from, unfortunately. It's been a bit of a shameful week for me. The first thing I'll acknowledge on these airwaves, don't like reality TV. I love The Golden Bachelor, Golden Bachelorette, and Golden Bachelorette just started up this week.
Really? Huh.
And wait, you know I watched that first episode.
Wait, okay, so were you in the Bachelor universe before? Oh,
never
you jumped in
it.
Just because it was the old folks.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it about the old folks, with all due respect? I don't say that to be mocking or menacing, right? With all due respect, what is it about the golden versions that get you, that are interesting to you?
I don't know. It's just more, you know, I haven't watched The Bachelor and Bachelorette, but it just seems to be more dramatic and all that sort of stuff, and like influencers and everything. This seems more genuine. And they always talk about hope. I just hope to find somebody again. Everyone's so hopeful. It's just more like family friendly. It's nice. There's none of that like body stuff. They're not in the bedroom. They can't be in the hot tub too long, otherwise you're gonna have to get the medics. So, you know, it's not very, you know, it's not like a raunchy show. It's a nice love show, and it's nice to see these old people, you know, trying to find love again. I don't know. It sucked me in last year. All the commercials during the football games. I said, I got to check
you're
this
the
out.
People that, you're the person that those are for. Okay, yeah, gotcha. Yeah,
they hooked me.
I ain't going to lie. I seen that same commercial during the football game. I'm like, I'm like, what in the hell is this? I'm like, oh, no, nah, I ain't seeing no. No, nah, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see grandma and grandpa try to find love. I'm good on that.
It's nice. I would throw my girlfriend under the bus, but admittedly, I'd watch it by myself.
Ah, okay.
I like it. It's a good show.
I will ask you, though. One of the things that it seems like is the tough part about it, though, is on the backside, when people are being released, right, when people are being let go, it sounds like it's sadder. Because it's like there are people that are like, this is my last hope.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. It feels like seeing a dog go off upstate, right? Go off to a farm upstate at times. Like, oh man, this is not fun.
Yeah, because it's not very cutthroat. And that's the other thing. Like, all the contestants, they're too friendly with one another. I do want some drama, but yeah, it
sounds
is
like
a lot.
You are just, this sounds like gateway drug to regular Bachelor.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
He's like, I need this to be more cutthroat. Well, have you seen The Bachelor?
Yeah. I was actually up till 3 a.m. last night watching Love is Blind Brazilian version. So I'm all in on reality shows now.
Yeah, you're in.
Yep. Yeah. Watch this. These
are my confessions. Man, so I woke up to a text message from my hairstylist. Shout out to my hairstylist, Reese, who she retwists my hair and dyed. So shout out to her. But I woke up from a text message from her. She said, good morning. Come get a retwist style sometime this weekend on me. So I said, on me? I'm like, okay. I'm like, it ain't my birthday. My birthday coming up next month, but dang, for free. Okay. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, you must have seen some of my videos or something.
Oh, like, you think she was like, yo, it's getting a little rough.
Yeah,
so, you out here making me look bad.
I'm like, I must be looking bad out here. If you you know, on me. So she texts back and said, I seen one of your recent videos, and I said, now why the hell is this pineapple leaning? So I had the pineapples out, and it was kind of leaning a little bit. So I'm like, damn, I feel ashamed. So I think I'm out here embarrassing her.
That's one of those backhanded compliment type of deals.
Yeah, because
you think it's nice, like, hey, come in for a free, and then it's putting you down. Like, you look ridiculous.
Yeah, so she like, you out here looking bad, so I gotta hook you up, man. So I think I'm at the age now, especially with me, you know, being married. Like, I get to it when I get to it type thing. Like, I'll be out here looking a hot mess, wearing free T-shirts and all that stuff.
You don't got errands to go run that you're like,
Now,
fresh for?
Back in the day, I would get a haircut every single week.
Oof.
Get my hair did every single week or every other week. I got to be out here like I'm trying to impress somebody. Now, I'm just like, I only got one person impressed, and she cool. So I'd have got to that point in my life, man.
Hey, with those prices, you picked a good time to get married. That was financially sound.
There you go. Especially with the old boy out here charging $150 for a cut and trying to raise the price every 2 months.
Yeah. He said, we going to get the $200 in 2025.
Crazy. Watch this. I just seen my guy Ron walk by. I think he's headed out to the Around the Sports Bar where These guys will be broadcasting here shortly, right? 920 North Shepherd in the Heights. So you make sure to go out and see them. But yeah, man, a confession is I think I've been lying kind of unintentionally, but kind of intentionally to our boys when they head out there. I'm like, man, I'm about to pull up. I've not been ready to pull. Look at the look that Ron give me right now.
Oh, man.
I got it. My confession is I kind of was lying to myself and the people. But I will pull up soon. I really will. I need to make it out there.
Now, why would he believe you now?
No, I mean, it's close, first of all. So hey, the Heights is just right there from where our broadcast location. So yeah, I feel like is there an apology aspect of the confessions? Because I do need to apologize to my man. But I wasn't lying about the hair looking good. You should consider keeping that, brother. I think you should.
As it looked fresh, you got a haircut.
It looked good. It does look good. So shout out to my guy Ron and my guy Clint. I will. You know what? We're gonna put this on. I'm gonna make amends. I will be out at Aranda Sports Bar after the show.
I'm actually going too.
Let's go.
I'm going to.
We'll be out there. I beat her. But Ron looking at me like I'm crazy. All right, that's I'm good.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I guess I'll be a wet blanket again in the baseball world.
No, do it.
Uh-oh.
It was fun the first time.
The Yankees clinched a playoff spot and then celebrated in the clubhouse. And then when they win the division, they're going to celebrate again. And then when they make it to the playoffs and the New York Yankees win a wild card round, they're going to celebrate. And then if they win the divisional round, they're going to celebrate. Point being, I hate these clubhouse I'm all for celebrating small victories in life. But
are you then? You can't. No,
talking
man.
Out of both sides
of my
mouth.
Both work.
So the Houston Astros, there's a chance they might clinch by the end of this weekend. Don't go crazy celebrating because, you bested the Mariners, who have been on vacation since August 1st to get into the playoffs. Celebrate when you win a World Series. The Astros are towards that level now, like the Yankees historically of winning, where don't just if you're the Yankees, don't celebrate just simply getting in the playoffs. That should be a given. If you're the Astros, celebrate when you win the World Series or win the AL pennant, not when you outlast the miserable Mariners. I'm tired of all the locker room celebrations, and I've been part of some in my career,
look
and
that.
They're fun.
Hey.
Yeah, humble brag. I'm tired of these celebrations for everything in baseball. Once you win the World Series, then you celebrate.
That's a good sports take. I like that sports take. I disagree though. Like I'm here for the
that's
hey man.
Fair.
Let's have fun. Now the tough thing about it is you got to find a way to balance it because like those are the things that could take you off your take your eye off the prizes sometimes mm-hmm. where you're like oh you get content. I like the idea of celebrate for the day. Turn the page.
Right.
Let's go back to work. And yes, I've tried very much to lean into the celebrate all the small victories because, buddy, life will give you mm-hmm. losses.
Oh,
life
yeah.
will absolutely give you losses.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Hey, I'm going to piggyback off of what Luke said. Not with this one, but I got to be a wet blanket when it comes to this baseball thing, too. Man, I was so irritated when Ohtani hit that last home run in the ninth inning, up 14-3 against a position player that was just out there. They clearly threw the white flag, man. Why? First of all, like I understand, like if you hit a home run, cool. I'm not mad at that part, but why is Ohtani still in the game, man? The game was over. My man's was 5-for-5. With two home runs.
He's DH.
Why is he still in the game?
He's a DH. Man?
Like, hey, you had a good night. You beat the records. I would understand if he was at number 49 and they trying to get that record that night. You broke all the records, every record you could break that night.
Yeah.
And you still in the game? And
he's a DH. He's not playing the field. It's not like we're trying to avoid him getting hurt. He's just taking another hack. Also,
they threw the white flag, man.
He's supposed to lay down a bunt?
No, that game, he shouldn't even have been in the game. They should have gave him the night off. You did the curtain call. He already did the curtain call. And now
and then he came out and gave the encore. That's just good performance, baby.
Goodness
that's
gracious,
all that is.
No, look, and I'm not even that type of guy that's saying that's Bush League and all that stuff. But, dog, why is he still in the game? And I was irritated seeing that, man.
Okay.
At least someone's sticking up for the Marlins.
Yeah.
they clearly threw the white flag.
They did.
And my man is still in the game 5-for-5 in the ninth inning, up 14-3.
Why not 6-for-6?
At least he went, you know, it was like Jose Reyes when he got the one hit he needed on like the final game of the season to win the batting title. And then he was like, all right, take me out. I'm done. At least Ohtani, he was like 5-for-5, 2 homers. He could have said, I don't want to ruin this perfect game.
He said, I got a right fielder in here pitching. I'm going to hit a home run off of
him. He said, food. That pitcher is food. All right. Yeah. Some lunchtime confessions. You guys came with the heat, man. I gotta get better. But look, somebody's already like, you should bail on them again. No, I will be it. I'll be out there. It's a football Friday. And so those guys, Clint and Ron, are going to be out at Aranda Sports Bar, 920 North Shepherd in the Heights. I will be there. I will go after this.
Check out Ron's haircut, too. It look fly.
It look good. Tell Ron how good it looks. And there's going to be plenty of people that are like, nah, man, it don't look good. You need to cut.
Nah, it look
clean. I think it looks good. I think it works. But there you go. Our lunchtime confessions here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Again, Luke Morrow sitting in for John Lopez. He's fitting right in, even though people are saying that he sounds like Nick Casario. Coming up next, let's talk about the rest of the AFC South. Which AFC South team will indeed get their first win this weekend? And does a down AFC South benefit or hurt the Texans? Let's talk about that next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Actually, big voice guy, I'm Reggie Atitula, but that's Luke Morrow who's sitting in for John Lopez on this Football Friday. Of course, you always got Figgy Fig with the hair leaning to the left. I appreciate that, my man.
To the left, to the left.
If some people don't, I appreciate it. It works. Of course, we're gearing up. Last hour of the program before we turn it over to the guys handling Football Friday, Clint and Ron out at Aranda Sports Bar, 920 North Shepherd in the Heights. So you want to make sure to make it out there. They always got something that they're giving away. And that's it's fun as well. Fun as well always. So keep it locked. But right here, let's talk more about these Texans. Which of the other AFC South teams will get their first win this weekend? As you know, Texans have a 2-game lead in the AFC South with a 2-0 record because everybody else not handling their business, right? And so which of these teams do we anticipate actually does do a little bit of handling up on what they do this weekend? And before we even get there, like, I do want to get your impressions on the rest of the division in general, right? Like, is there any one of these teams that gives you any level of pause, any level of poses any level of challenge to these Texans?
Not right now, no. At the start of the season, I was on these airwaves leading into week one, and I was saying each time, I expect the Colts to take a step back this year. I thought last year was pretty flukish.
Okay.
I was not sold on the Colts. I've never been sold on Anthony Richardson, so not surprised by the Colts. The Titans, I didn't expect. I thought they'd be better than last year. I thought they'd be a little sneaky, but not compete for the division. The Jaguars were the one team that I did like because, you know, last year they were 8-3, and then Trevor Lawrence dealt with some injuries, and they brought in a good defensive coordinator. So I thought this offseason, so they were the one team. But that's at the start of the season. To answer the question just now, I wouldn't be concerned, and I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but I'm not concerned by any of these teams because usually, the team with the best quarterback wins each division. And when you look at these other three teams, Will Levis, obviously, is not the guy. I don't think Anthony Richardson's the guy. And Trevor Lawrence hasn't won a game since Thanksgiving of last year. So
wildly inconsistent from Trevor Lawrence.
For sure.
Even though the high end is pretty good with him.
Yeah, so he can't be trusted. And C.J. Stroud, I think, is head and shoulders above those guys. So your stake to a 2-game lead to begin, that's nice. But even as these teams try to find their footing, and the Texans will have some ups and downs as well, I'm sure. Still, for me, it comes back to the quarterbacks, and those teams just can't compete with Stroud.
Yeah, with the 2-0 start, it's kind of interesting. I've looked at various places that predict probability, and anywhere from 70 to 80% chance of the Texans making the playoffs at this point, this early into the season. Kind of amazing to see. And of course, it's helped by the fact that those other teams have not handled theirs. So which of these teams actually pose the best shot of getting a win this week, or getting a win first, as the Colts are facing off in the We Lost to the Texans Bowl in week three, as they will welcome in the Chicago Bears at noon on Sunday. I know that the Jacksonville Jaguars going on the road to Buffalo on Monday Night Football. We have one of these Monday Night doubleheader things.
Yeah.
That's always very weird, and that I really hate because you can't really watch both games at the same time. And even if you have them both on two different TVs, it's hard to pay attention. But that's a tough Buffalo team that we thought might take a step back, that is playing a lot better than that step back would kind of imply. And then when it comes to the Titans, they welcome in Green Bay, a Green Bay team that also faced off against the Colts and ran roughshod on them. Now, I imagine that'll be a lot more difficult to make happen against these Titans, as they looked a little bit more stout against the run. But still, offensively with Will Levis, That is a question mark. So is there one of these teams that you feel really good about in, when it comes to getting a win this week, just generally? Because as of right now, I'm looking around at all these, and maybe the best option is the Colts, but I imagine that the Bears just go, hey, DeAndre Swift, you want to do some things? And they just run it down the Colts' throat this week.
Yeah, I'm with. Do I feel good, you know, really good or even good about any of those teams? No, I don't. I give the Jaguars the least chance, least amount. I do like the Jaguars from a betting perspective, +6. But to go into Buffalo, win
look
the
at
game,
you, a little betting nugget in there as well. I like that.
Yeah, but to actually win the game, I don't think I can trust them. As I said, I mean, Trevor Lawrence hasn't won since Thanksgiving of last year. So long ago, they're just not clicking. Defense has played well. Offense has been terrible. But the other two teams would be the ones I would look at. I would like to be able to trust the Colts at home against the Bears, but that feels like another spot where it just feels too obvious. Everyone's going to be, how could you lose at home to the Bears? I feel like the Bears might win that one, and specifically because of the defense, kind of like what they did against Will Levis. I mean, Anthony Richardson threw, what, 3 interceptions last week? I could see him doing it again against that Bears defense, and the Bears offense not having to do too much and winning the games in the winning the game in the other facets of the football game. So I would like to believe in the Colts. Hard to trust them. All that said, I honestly, if I had to pick, I think I'd pick the Titans. That's assuming Jordan Love does not play on Sunday. But
although he's been practicing,
which is crazy.
2 to 4 weeks was kind of the, you know, the benchmark that was set, and he seems like he's already, you know, hurrying back. And it's an MCL strain. That's one of those things that you don't imagine to be one of those, hey, if you could just thug it out through it, you can play.
Yeah.
And it seems like they are trying to get to that place. Although even without him, like Malik Willis, he did nothing but manage the game, and Matt LaFleur did a great job of just innovatively finding different ways to run the football. And again, like I think that is something that could be beneficial here. But yeah, if Jordan Love plays, that puts them even at risk of maybe us looking at a division where there again remains one team that only has a win into a fourth week of the season.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, like the Colts are very slim favorites at home against the Bears. The Titans even are very slim favorites at home against the Packers and their backup quarterback. And the Jaguars are a touchdown underdog. So it goes to the expectations of these teams that even though these seem like they could be good matchups on paper, the Colts probably should win. The Titans could win still. It's not like they're heavy favorites. These are still toss-up games and what should be winnable situations. But if I had to pick a team, I think I'd pick the Titans because Malik Willis, it's his former team. I know a new coaching staff, but they might know him. He was there for a little bit. They might know him. And also, this is just the opportunity to buy low on the Titans because it's been an embarrassment the last 2 weeks. Sell high in the Packers after they somehow won that game last week with very little on offense. Titans defense is better than the Colts. And if Will Levis does not make those brain dead plays, Titans could be 2-0. So I think they might be able to put it together enough to win Sunday. Do I feel great about it? No, but I think I'd pick the Titans.
Yeah, and I kind of love the possibility that you might still see a few, like, 3-0-3s on the board as you continue, which speaks, again, to the AFC South, outside of the Texans, of course, down again in a way that I don't think we anticipated. And with that being the case, you pose this question, do you think that the AFC South being down hurts or helps the Texans? And I think it helps, man. Like, I understand, look, just competition-wise, you're not having the best competition, but it'll happen, right? Football is this game of attrition, and if you have these games that you can manage to win without having to get yourself beat down, that's helpful. Plus, and the more wins that you have, the more advantageous position you put yourself with in the postseason. Yeah, if you take some of the more difficult wins or even potential losses in division out of your way, I think that can only serve to be a good thing for this Texans team.
I typically lean towards, like, you need that challenge. You need to get those calluses for the playoffs.
But we've already done a lot of hand-wringing around the first-place schedule that these Texans are getting on those 3 games that, a year that are dictated by your first place or your position in the schedule. You're already getting that difficulty elsewhere. I'd rather just take those additional 6 games in division, right, and have those be easy and have those be places where your team can, you know, it's not like you're walking through, right, because it's still the NFL. They get paid just like you do.
Yeah.
But your team can have wins that aren't requiring you to be stretched nearly as much, which I understand you would say would help you, but you're going to have those stretches elsewhere, you know?
Right. Yeah, which was one of the points I was going to make, because, yeah, you have with the Chiefs, the Bills, you have some, even the Vikings at 2-0 in a non-divisional game on Sunday on the road is tougher than we originally thought. So you'll get those challenges elsewhere. It won't be a complete cakewalk into the playoffs. It never is in the NFL.
Right.
And I think it's more of an issue in baseball. It's always a concern for me. Even college football, when these teams aren't tested, they play lazy non-conference schedules. Then they get to the, you know, we've seen it with Clemson or these ACC teams. They're never challenged until the playoff, and then or Notre Dame, they get blown out. But for the NFL, I think back, like Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs division hasn't been very good the last couple of years, and they keep going to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, the AFC East was lousy a lot of those years, and they kept winning Super Bowls. So I originally thought, as I sat down and thought about it, like, I think it's a negative. But then I swung around and thought, actually, no, with the schedule, also, it could allow you those other games, those six games in the division, to have a good enough record where maybe now we're talking like a bye or home field advantage. Brady always had that benefit. So I actually convinced myself in the thought process, and I think it is a good thing because you're going to get those challenges elsewhere. And then with that lesser division, it could allow you to move up the AFC rankings to get those advantages for the playoffs.
Right, especially if you get an opportunity to play at home as opposed to, like, you know, someone like Buffalo. Like, if the distinction between you and Buffalo is having a couple of games in division that are, for lack of a better term, gimmies or what have you, right? Like, I'd much rather play in at NRG Stadium, inside or even with the roof open, what have you, right? Like, in this climate here, as opposed to having to play an outdoor game in Buffalo, right, where you know, only God knows what that changes. And one more thing before I let this one pass is I also think that the way that this team is operated is from the top down, right, from the perspectives of Caserio and D'Amico and all the people, like, there is not an overlooking nature, right? They have, even the course of that win on Sunday Night Football, and it was an ugly win in some ways, right? And if you watch the Iron Sharpen Irons, you know, week three that got, or, you know, part three that got put out recently on YouTube by the Texans media, you heard that after the game, D'Amico walks in and he goes, you know, it's sloppy, you know, and there's things that you got to fix, but you'd rather fix them on a win. And I think that that perspective permeates through this team to the point where even if they're getting those wins, and I don't think they'll get to a place where they'll get complacent and like, all right, well, as long as we just won, whatever, they still want to be great. They still want to push themselves. And so I'm 100% okay with getting easier wins in division, but still pushing towards the goal of ultimately competing in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's that whole concern, you know, pigs, what is it? Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah,
that whole idea. But also what helps too is just being in the AFC. The NFC is a lot easier. The Texans will have their challenges elsewhere on that schedule outside of what might be a terrible AFC South this year.
Yeah, you mentioned the idea of the Patriots, or sorry, of the Chiefs. 281 mentions Patriots had a cakewalk in the AFC East all those years didn't hurt them. Yeah, and so
it helped. You get a bye and home field advantage out of it.
Shout out to the AFC South, potentially putting themselves in a place where they can help the Texans in the way that they continue going forward. All right, we're in the loop. Sports Radio 610, of course. That's my guy Luke Morrow sitting in for John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself hanging out with you. Coming up next, let's get into it. Texans win because, Texans lose because. What are the reasons? What are the things that will determine whether the Texans get a victory or a loss in Minnesota? You text in your answer, 713-572-4610. We'll give you those and ours next.